I just want to flag up that we're beginning to get into a rhythm of prayer again. It was so exciting to see a very full corridor this morning of people praying at 9:30 this morning, just such a buzz. And in September, we relaunched our kind of sequence of 3 days of prayer, and we had an awesome time. And so what we normally do as a rhythm is to have days of focused prayer in September, in January, and then maybe around May time, a day of prayer. And so for your diaries, Tuesday the 16th to Thursday the 18th of January, we've got 3 days of prayer. And the theme is being filled and to be filled. I think we might have a slide for it somewhere, actually, Jamie, if we could just get that up, just to commend and remind of the verses, of the dates. And that's going to look like 7 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m. Online, 15 minutes of bursts of prayer. And there's going to be prayer points put out for each time of prayer. And last time, for anyone that came on, it was so cool just to be able to go on, pray for 15 minutes, really focus. It doesn't sound much, but it was powerful. And it felt like it was building. And then in the evenings, Alice again is going to host an evening of just abiding with God and a place of encounter on the Tuesday night at 83A. Then on Wednesday night, we've got an hour of power, which will be led by Jane and Trevor and Christine. And then on Thursday night, we look outwards and pray for the area and pray for God's movement this year outwardly. And I'll be leading that last evening on the Thursday night, which is from 7:30 in the evening, running through for about an hour, hour and a quarter. And last time, it was just so significant. And so we just want to keep, like just saying, We are a praying people. We have and so much prayer happens through the life of the church. Our WhatsApp groups are filled with prayer. I just love the connections that are growing through our small groups. If you're not part of a small group, maybe this is the year to connect with one, or to be in a prayer triplet, or find people that you can connect with and pray with. But these moments of collective prayer are also very powerful as well. And so get those dates in your diary, the January, the 16th to 18th, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 days of prayer. Great. Amen. Good. Just take a moment to wiggle a bit. We've been, just set yourselves up for a little talk. Great. Great. Did we say Colossians chapter 2? Great. Ah, excellent. Colossians 2 and 6 to 7. Paul wrote this, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." I just want to say, your faith is not static. Your faith and relationship with God, it wasn't just a one-time event, but it has movement to it. Because he goes on to say, continue to follow him. Jesus is going somewhere. Do you remember Forrest Gump? I love that movie. And Forrest just starts to run. and he runs. And people are like, "Whoa, what a phenomena." And they just start, this guy is going somewhere. He's following something. He's got something about him. So they just start running. And then he has this massive crowd and community of people that are beginning to find purpose in running behind Forrest. And then one day, he just stops. He's like, "I've just done it. It's over. I've done it." And he just walks off. And everyone's like, "What? We've given our lives to follow you, and you've just stopped running." Well, I want to say, Jesus will never stop running out on you. That actually, he's calling us to follow him. And actually, he calls anyone to follow him. Sometimes we put designs on who's qualified to follow Jesus or not. But actually, Jesus says to anyone, so for God so loved the world that whosoever should love and believe in him shall have eternal life. Now, I have categories and types of people that I think are qualified for God's love. But God says, Jesus said, come, follow me. And in fact, he said that to everyone. Come and follow me. Follow hard after me until you get so offended by me, you do not want to follow me anymore. And he didn't put the dimension on people to choose whether they were in or out. He gave them the choice to say, are they in or out? I.e., are they going to be so offended about his challenge to us about our lifestyles that we're offended and we will not follow him anymore? But Jesus says, come and follow me. And if you follow me, and if you give your... And so I don't want to be a church that's so much a box of who's in and out. I want to be a people that are following hard after Jesus, so hard, so extreme, that whoever ends up making it through, we're there. But that's not on me to tell you whether you can follow Jesus or not. That's up to you whether you're offended enough by him to not want to follow him anymore. Do you get it? We are called to follow Jesus, and everyone gets to join the journey on the line at some point. And for Forrest, some people were early adopters. Others came in really late in the day, but they were following hard. And Paul says, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. We so like the idea of Jesus being our Savior, being our healer, being our sorter out of all my problems, being the one that gives me ushy-gushy feelings. But actually, the basis on which we've been called to Jesus is to make him Lord. And that's about laying my life down to say, God, your will be done, not my will. To say, Lord, your ethos, your values, your kind of lifestyle, I will follow after you. And I will change my life to mold into your kind of life. But that's not something that we're doing on our own. That's something the Holy Spirit is, by his Spirit, is forming in our lives. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Jesus is growing in us that sense of becoming more and more like him. And this is the invitation we have to continue to follow. Lord, what are you saying to me this year? We can get grumpy about all sorts of things, but Lord, what are you saying? What's your vision? What are you describing about the situation? What do you want me to believe about this situation? How do you want me to respond to that set of circumstances? What attitude do you want me to adopt, Lord, towards that individual? That's really annoying. What are you saying, Lord? And I will mold to your will in that. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Master, and I will follow you. And I think it's so, so important that we just don't make Jesus as some sugar daddy that can just answer all my needs. But he is the master that we follow. And if he ends up meeting some of our needs, well, wonderful. But that's not the basis I'm following him. I'm following because he's my Lord. And he is worthy. He is the King of Kings and the Lord, a Lord of Lords. And is worthy of my surrender, of my submission. And that's a note I just want to encourage us to think about coming into this new year. And then he goes on in verse 7. Paul says, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. I love the two metaphors, the thing of growing and the things of building. They're things that God wants to grow in your life this year. Growth produces fruit. And there's fruit that God has got to grow in your life this year. Isn't that great? It doesn't matter how many years you've been following Jesus. You could be in your seventh decade of following Jesus, and there's still more fruit that he wants to grow on you, the tree of your life. And it's about continuing to put our roots down into him. Because we can be a really old tree and be pulled up and be useless. But we can be a very old tree and have our roots going down and down, and we continue to produce fruit. And so what does it look like this year for you to put your roots down in God? The other thing is that of the metaphor of building. What God are you building in my life this year? Have you got a vision of some, you know, the joy of building an extension? It started with a dream. It started with a conversation. You were maybe sitting there one day thinking, it'll be really nice to have. John, I'm thinking about, it's like, it'd be really nice to have, like, I can imagine this. I can imagine a fireplace there. I can imagine this. What are you imagining with God right now about what your life in him could build and look like? Is there a new annex that God wants to build in your faith this year? Are there new things that God wants? God's like, you're getting a bit tired in that room of your life. Let's give it a decorate. Let's give it a refresh this year. Are there parts of your building in God that are feeling a bit tired and you need to put some investment in this year to refresh it and to revive it and to make it, you know, paint the walls again, you know? And actually, Paul says about building, live your lives to build on what? To build on him. We've sung about seeing Jesus. As you just meditate in the Gospels this year and look afresh at Jesus. Jesus, that's why our core value as a church is to be Jesus-centered. We want a Christ-centered theology that says, Jesus, you are the ultimate one. You're the ultimate revelation. You are the highest level of philosophical understanding and knowledge. You are the Logos. You are the one to build a life on. What are you like, Jesus? And which bits of my life don't quite align with your ways? Lord, build me along your lines. Set your plumb line against my wonky walls and let's realign in your ways. That's a personal challenge and it's a collective challenge. Then why? What will happen when we do this? When we put our roots down and when we build on him? Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. The truth, the revelation and the knowledge of God is going to keep you strong. It's going to strengthen you. It will keep you anchored. And in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. There's going to be an overflow in our lives of thankfulness towards God. You say, well, I haven't got much to thank God for. My circumstances have been so difficult this year. And you can't make things up to be thankful for. You can't just be hype. But the thing with the relationship with God is, there is a river in God which will flow through your life, whether things are going good or whether things are going bad, whether it's been a year that's been awful, or you're facing circumstances that feel so difficult. There is a river that flows that makes glad and the people and the city of God. It's the truth of who Jesus is. It's a relationship with the living God. And he is a constant. He is your living constant. He is our living rock. And if we build our life in him, we will always have something to be thankful for, because he is not dependent on the economics of the day. He is not dependent on whether we're in work or out of work. His constant, his love, his commitment. He, you know, if people come and go in our lives, Do we crumble, or is our hope built on something deeper and more constant? And his name, friends, is Jesus Christ, and a living relationship with him. This is the foundation that we are invited in Christ to come into, which is a strong foundation for our lives. And so this idea that this year is a year to be building and growing and putting our roots deep down into him. What are the goals of that growth? One, can you imagine that one of the goals of that is to become like Jesus? My character, my nature, becoming more and more Christ-like. To that, my amazing wife will only say, amen. I would have more of that any day. The second thing is to develop an intimacy and a quieted trust in a growing personal living relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He wants to grow your trust and confidence in your own walk with him. He wants to grow that deeper in you and for you this year. And thirdly, to become an active kingdom representative and a disciple that can make other disciples wherever God has placed us. God has made you an influencer. Maybe not a social influencer, but a kingdom influencer. And actually, someone that affects the climate around your shop, around your desk at work, around your team, around your class, around your ward at work, around your neighborhood. We can set a climate, and we are influencers. And as the kingdom of God radiates out of our life, we can infect and impact the world around us. God just doesn't want you to be a consumer. He's called you to be a producer in his kingdom. And the day we get the revelation that we're not just the ones to be called to be in the healing line, but we are the ones to be with Jesus praying for the sick, is a big transformational moment in your Christian life. Not always being the one in need, but actually being a one that has got something to give. And that is part of your growth and part of your maturity. As we grow to be a church that aren't just be like the fish finger advert where we sit and say, feed me now. Bring it on, mama. Bring it on, pastor. Bring it on, my home group leader. Feed me now. It's like, what's that? Consumer? You just a fat consumer? Go out and be a producer. Go out and feed yourself a God and give out. And actually, God's design is the whole of the church are producers, not just the vicars and the people with the dog collars. We're all called into ministry. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. That's one of the foundations of the charismatic church movement, that it's no longer just the vicar at the front, but it's the whole body bringing all our flavors and contributions to create an amazing household that is a blessing to God and a blessing to the world around us. And that is our vision of church. And so how are we going to grow this year? And there's one of these that we're going to focus on in particular over the next 6 months, which I just want to set the tone for in these last couple of moments together. There are five, I would argue, there may be more, but there are five essential catalysts to your growth that are worth knowing about. Some of them happen from the pulpit here, but most of them happen in our daily lives, and they're worth knowing about. First of all, though, is practical teaching. Do you remember the first time you were gripped and challenged by a Christian teaching that created a response in you? Do you remember it? Wow, I want that. Wow, ouch. Oh my goodness, that was painful. I felt challenged in that. When the Bible connected with you in a way that you really understood it and it ignited something in you for a change. We need practical teaching that will change and transform our lives. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's that rhema word. God speaking right into your now situation with his now word. And we hunger for that and we seek that. So first of all, get practical teaching. Get that in church. Get it from good sources on the internet. Advisedly good. There's all sorts of stuff out there. We can guide you to some good stuff, but be feeding yourself with good practical teaching. Secondly, and this is where we're going to be focusing our energy over the next 6 months, it's that of the private disciplines. The most important thing in your life is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything flows from that. And do you know what? Your growth in God is not accidental. It doesn't happen haphazardly. It can actually happen by design. God can grow you by design. God can build you by design. And one of those ways is to begin to embrace some of the spiritual habits and disciplines that create encounter points and development points in our lives. I love the idea of coming forward at the end of a service and being prayed for. In my, some of you remember, in my very early days of ministry, I would call people forward for big life transformations to happen right in the moment, the minute when I lay my hand on you and I pray for you. I wish that had been so true. There are some things that God changes in our lives instantaneously, miraculously, through prayer. There are other things that happen through development and process. A tree grows slowly over time. Fruit develops slowly over months. You'd be worried if one day you suddenly had a tree bang at the bottom of your drive. You couldn't get your car out. It's like, where did that just pop up from? God thought that was weird from the start. And so he said, let's grow things from seed that take time and intention and just savor life and growth. But we live in a world that wants everything instant now. Give it to me now. Instant download. Instant maturity. Instant patience. Give me patience now because I'm in a hurry. But it just doesn't work like that, right? That God grows things in us gradually, and there are habits, and there are processes and rhythms that begin to shape and develop the life of God in us. And I would love us to explore some of those. They come in three categories: internal, external, and corporate. And so over the next several months, we're going to be exploring these. And the internal ones are rhythms of prayer, just personal prayer. And when I read this list, I don't get goosebumps. I think, I think hunger. I think boring. But we live in a generation that wants to feel the buzz. But actually, so much of spiritual growth happens through grit, sweat, tears. An athlete does not win gold without many hours and hours in dark mornings, sweating, aching, hurting, restricted diets. At the end of Formula One, I think it was one of the drivers, Norris, I think, was like, I can't wait to have a burger. The season's over. I can finally have a burger. And they, you know, you live with focus. And why do we think we can be spiritual giants out of just a little bit of feel me good here, feel me good there? It will build and grow out of practice, out of life and discipline. But they are the beautiful disciplines because they become places of delight. And actually, so internally, we're going to look at the practice of prayer, of meditation, of the slow reading of scripture, of fasting, of study. And then the ones that are external are living with simplicity, solitude, living with submission in our lives, servanthood, service, hospitality. And then some of the corporate things we're going to then look at towards the summer is looking at the practices of confession, of worship, and of celebration. And as we begin to draw on these different spiritual dynamics and rhythms in our lives, and there's no way you're going to do all of them all at once. I mean, literally, you cannot fast and celebrate at the same time. It's just like, but you have a time of fasting, and then there's a time of feasting, right? There's celebration, but then there are rhythms of mourning. And there's moments of solitude. I want to grow in this myself. I would love us to go on a journey over the next couple of months of picking up some of these ropes again. And I'm kind of sorry that I've left too many of them in the closet for too long, because they felt, quite frankly, too much hard work. And I wanted life by a good worship experience. Give me the download, God. And I'm real. Over the last year, I've been reading books and books on this, and I've been looking at my own rhythms of life and beginning to find new connection with Father and new sources of life. And I tell you what, there is a secret to your spiritual growth that's going to be powerful as we pick up these things. And you're going to find fresh flourishing, fresh depth, fresh meaning. And I'm just envisioning us working these out together as well. Fasting, doing it together. Saying, we'll just do a day together, and let's, a small group tonight, let's just pray together. And it's always after fasting that you feel the benefit. During it, it's just jolly hard and hungry, and you got funny taste in your mouth, and I don't know, you just feel tired. But it's out of it that comes the joy. Things begin to flow in a new way. But we want the flow, but we don't want the fast. And so God's saying to us, hey, come and learn my rhythms, because this is the stuff that Jesus was all about. Just to throw in, so next week, my really good friend from Cambridge, Ian Rawley, is going to come and launch the first session on prayer. And he's just going to bring that for us next week, and then we're going to flow. Just to let you know, just so you're not confused by this, we're going to do the internal this in January, and then in February and March over Lent, we're actually going to do the second of the prayer course. Do you remember the prayer course, the first one we did with Pete Gregg back in lockdown maybe, or before lockdown? They've produced a second one, which follows the stations of the cross and is a real honest look at when God is silent and when we don't see answered prayer, what's going on. And it's a phenomenal series. Andrew and I experienced it in another setting a couple of years ago, and we were moved so much through it. And so we want to go for that, which we're really excited about. So that will be running up to Easter. And then out of Easter, we're then going to pick up on the prayer, on the disciplines running through to the summer. So just to let you know that that's kind of where we're going, and I feel really excited about that. So, guys, we need to end. So I said there were five catalysts to your growth. Practical teaching, the private disciplines, which is where we're going to focus. Personal ministry, getting involved with ministering. Jesus pushed his disciples constantly out to uncomfortable situations where they had to believe God. Being part of the feeding of the 5,000, do you remember that? They were part of that miracle. Jesus wants to use you this year in ministry, and you will grow through that. Fourthly, God-given relationships. Relationships that inspire, that coach, that shape. That's why we have Jesus-centered, relationally connected, because actually sometimes we grow significantly through God-given relationships. When people tell their faith stories, They will always talk about individuals that they believe God put in their paths for strategic moments in their life. Be mindful and looking for those strategic relationships that are going to be catalysts of growth for you this year. You know, you are the sum average of the five people you most hang out with. And if they're negative, poisonous, you know, non-believing in you, non-believing in God, then you're going to become like that. Decide to hang around people that are inspiring, that are challenging, that are where you want to be going. I literally, that's what I do. I find people around the country that are like what I want to become like, and I say, can I spend time with you? That's how you grow. It's like you'll get challenged and inspired. And you can do that on the internet, you know, follow people that inspire you. And it's so, so good and important to do. And then fifthly, you'll grow through pivotal circumstances. There's nothing you can do about this. You just have to live life. And then a circumstance comes your way. And do you know what? Our spiritual growth depends on how we respond to it. I've seen people go through awful situations and their faith grows. And I've seen people go through exactly the same, relatively same scenario, and they lose faith in God. It's all how we choose to respond. Do I see this as a God opportunity to grow in my life? Will I embrace God in this pain? Or is it a reason to disconnect from God? Your choice. But if I choose to see God in it and to grow in it, it could be a catalyst of your growth in God. So, I'm going to release those five things. I'm going to email it around or put it on the weekly email this week. But I just think God wants to grow you this week in heap loads. He's got manure to put on your roots that you're going to shine this year. It may not feel great at the time. It may not smell great at the time. But it's sure going to be good for you. Let's stand together. Manure.